Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ, welcome to episode number 47 of Proclaim, the podcast that teaches you, encourages you, that is every Bible-believing Christian, how to preach the gospel by any means necessary in many different settings, including using the internet and the new podcast, what I call Podcast Pulpit, a very powerful tool in the arsenal of a Christian in these days and times. Our Proclaim Scripture passage on preaching is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 17 and 18, which reads, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Our proclaimed quote on preaching today is from Francis of Assisi. He said, "It is no use walking anywhere to preach unless our walking is our preaching." Now, Francis of Assisi may not agree with our doctrine, and we no doubt would not agree with his, but it is still a good quote. We need to practice what we preach. Even the great Barry White said that before he left us. In this Proclaim podcast, we are using as our texts the following three books: Lectures to My Students by Dr. Charles H. Spurgeon, The Preacher and His Preaching by Dr. Alfred P. Gibbs, and Biblical Preaching by Dr. Haddon W. Robinson. Today, beloved, our topic is titled The Road from Text to Sermon, Part 2, from Biblical Preaching by Haddon W. Robinson. I believe that even evangelists, people who are called and have a burden and more of a concern for the lost, need to be biblical in their preaching. And if you are truly saved and truly called by God, you will understand that the power is in the Word of God. The power is in the gospel. The power of salvation is in the gospel and in the power of the Holy Spirit, not us in our cute little titles and how quickly we can turn a phrase. That has nothing to do with it. A second world, he goes on to share with us, Dr. Robinson, a second world we must consider is the modern world. We must be aware of the currents swirling across our own times. Each generation develops out of its own history and culture and speaks its own language. We may stand before a congregation and deliver exegetically accurate sermons that are scholarly and organized, but they are dead and powerless because they ignore the life-wrenching problems and questions of our hearers. Such sermons, spoken in a stained glass voice, using a code language never heard in the marketplace, dabble in great biblical concepts, but our audience may feel that God belongs to the long ago and far away and not in the now and now. We must answer not only the questions our fathers and mothers asked, we must wrestle with the questions our children ask and our grandchildren. Men and women who speak effectively for God must first struggle with the questions of their age and then speak to those questions from the eternal truth of God's Word. A third world in which we must participate is our own particular world. A church has a postal code and stands near Fifth and Main in some town or city. The profound issues of the Bible and the ethical, philosophical questions of our times assume different shapes in rural villages, in middle-class communities, or in the ghettos of crowded cities. Ultimately, we do not address everyone. We speak to particular people and call them by name. The Bible speaks of the gift of pastor-teacher. This implies the two functions should be joined, or else an irrelevant exposition may emerge that reflects negatively on God. As one bewildered churchgoer expressed it, "The trouble is that God is like the minister. We don't see him during the week, and we don't understand him on Sunday." J.M. Rue was on target when he wrote, "Preaching is fundamentally a part of the care of souls." Allow me to repeat that. J.M. Rue was on target when he wrote, "Preaching is fundamentally a part of the care of souls, and the care of souls involves a thorough understanding of the congregation. Able shepherds know their flock." Let's pray. Holy Father God, we are speaking mostly to evangelists, people who have a concern and a burden for the lost, but at the same time they must understand, and we must understand, that we are in a sense doing the work of a pastor as well. We're helping pastors to shepherd the flock and to encourage the flock to witness to those who are lost, and we are most importantly caring for lost souls and getting the gospel to them so that they can come to know you as Savior, for that is the starting point for so many other things. Help us to do it well, help us to do it wisely, for your glory, your praise, and your honor, and for the salvation of the lost at any cost. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Now, beloved, as we close today, I want to speak to those who have never truly trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior, as well as those who have doubts about their salvation. Allow me to share with you very clearly how you can trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today and be saved from hell fire forever and have a home in heaven with God forever. Here is how, in more detail. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's law, and so have I. We all have. For the Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Second, accept the fact, dear friend, that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible states in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact that you are on the road to hell right now without Christ. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, this is bad news indeed, but I have some good news for you, and I proclaim it to you today. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, his name is Jesus Christ," he was speaking about himself, "that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will save you. Romans chapter 10 verse 9 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. May God bless you and keep you.